shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Hanging the flag up.
We're going to have quite an interesting show.
Yes.
I do it, but it hurts sometimes. But
all right, everybody, next shot wins.
My name is Roger Ebert. I love the Phil Hendry Show.
Plug the hole yet? World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. News talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. Every night through the looking glass we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot. Coming up tonight, we're going to have David G. Hall joining us. We're also going to be talking about the economy, and we'll talk a little bit about, you know, what's been all the rage on Twitter. The fact that bin Laden watches porn, yeah? So what? It's not that I don't think that it's hypocritical of a so-called Muslim holy man, but the guy wasn't a Muslim holy man. You know, he was a psychopath. He was the head of a gang that murdered people. So that cat watching porn makes about as much of an impact on me as if Hitler was watching porn. You know, as if, look at Jim Fay, Jim Fay. was that his name, Jim Fay, or was it Jim Baker? Oh, it was Tammy Fay.
Yeah, you're calling him gay.
No, I did not. Jim Fay and Tammy Gay. No, it was Jim Baker, who was not Hitler and not Osama bin Laden, but by God, he loved his porn. Anyway, a stash of hardcore pornography was found in Osama bin Laden's hideout, and a teacher refuses to hang an American flag drawing because it might offend a student in her class. Is that really the story? Because I actually read that story about the teacher refusing to hang the American flag, and there's a lot more to it, as is the case with most of these stories. And I got to tell you, it drives me crazy when these news agencies try to jack up the emotional response to patent pending, in the words of the great Billy Gibbons of ZZ Top. You know, you've heard of turning it up to 11. This is turning it up to patent pending on the level. And so what they'll say is, look, there was an American flag that was not allowed to be hung. It was drawn by this child. And yet there may be something more to the story having to do with, for instance, the child was not doing what the teacher asked. And other things like that. So we may get into that as well. Our number is 877-876-7445. Here, the world famous Phil Hendry Show, our affiliate spotlight tonight. On WTKK 96.9 FM in Boston. This is Friday night. Are we on the air there?
Yeah, I think it's like a weekend now.
Oh, okay. And KCLV, 1240 AM in Clovis, New Mexico. PhilHendryShow.com, by the way, is our website. That's where you can go to get live streaming video of our show. We are in our alien den here this evening, so you can see that. And when you go to PhilHendryShow.com to get the live streaming video, our Phil TV, and all of the other marvelous things, make sure you get that backstage pass. Otherwise, you ain't going to be able to get nothing. Now, David G. Hall is joining us, the vice president of syndication for our radio show, and we did want to get into some of the ramifications at the end of this week, David, on the economy, on jobs. You wanted to make a comment, though, on that flag? Because Bud just told me.
Yeah, if it's all right. I was talking with... I actually did want to come on, Phil, and discuss with you the economy, but I heard what you said about the young man with the American flag, and I think you're missing something. I think the audience understands what you're saying, that there are a lot of different aspects to a news story, but I saw you with a golden opportunity on this story to talk about the flag and to talk about how the flag's being disrespected, and you immediately took the steam out of it. I'm wondering why you did that.
Because I didn't take any steam out of it. I was talking about the flag... The flag story.
Yeah, the flag story, but you started saying, well, there's more to the story, and it may not have to do with disrespecting the flag. My question for you is, why do you need to bring that up?
I bring it up because I think it's important that a news story have accurate detail reported with it. Okay? So.
No, but what you don't understand is, and that I've tried to explain this to you, and you've run afoul of some of the programmers that carry your show. This is about the American flag, and it's about the American people, and it's about the approach to radio that is the most successful, and that is.
No, you and I have had this discussion before. I understand that, David. You want me to, if the headline says it's about the flag being disrespected, then we're going to run with that. But I'm telling you that there are different things going on here. Okay.
Like what?
Like the possibility that the flag was not hung, not because they were disrespecting it, but because this little boy was disobeying the teacher.
What I'm trying to tell you is the listeners don't care about that. The listeners don't want to hear that. What they want to hear is...
And by the way, here we go again talking about the listeners as if they're not even here.
Well, again, the people that are listening right now, and I direct myself to you people that are listening, I understand that you are paying attention, but I also understand there's a thing called selective listening, so I don't think the people are being offended. I think they hear you and I talking, and a lot of this stuff goes over their heads. What they will hear is what you present to them. Right now, what we are doing is we are discussing possible ways to present this story.
Well, I think I came up with the way that I wanted to present the story, David. Okay?
Well, what was that?
Well, what was that was the way that it went down.
No. What I'm saying to you is, in presenting the story, you present it in the simplest possible way. And that is, the American flag has been disrespected. It's been disrespected by this teacher. Here's a little boy. He's got these military units that are backing him up. This is the thing that gets people interested. It gets them excited. And when you begin to point out things that may or may not have anything to do with the story, all you're doing is you're confusing it and you're blurring it.
No, what I'm pointing out here, if you don't mind, is that there is a possibility that the teacher was not disrespecting the flag. There's a possibility that the little boy had simply disobeyed the teacher, should not have been doing this drawing, and therefore the flag drawing should not get hung.
And I'm telling you, people don't care. They want to know about the flag.
Hold on. Let me read the story so that people know what we're talking about.
No, people, the story is that the flag was not...
What are you getting excited about?
Well, what I'm getting excited about is we've got a story here about a flag that was not hung in a classroom. A National Guard unit from Orange, Massachusetts backed this young boy up by flying a flag in his name. And there is a community that is backing this child up, as well as a family. And along comes Phil Henry now, and he's saying, well, maybe the kid was disobeying the teacher. So what you're doing is you're going against the zeitgeist, if you will. You're going against the critical mass on this.
Now, well, hold on. I want to play the audio here. This is the teacher. And by the way, what I'd like to do is get into the actual story, which is that a civil rights controversy is brewing. That's how they start this off, you know. A civil rights controversy is brewing in the town of Orange. It surrounds an 11-year-old's drawing of the American flag. The family of Frankie Girard claims their son's civil rights were violated after a teacher allegedly told him that hanging the picture of the American flag would offend another student.
Yeah, but look, you're getting into all of this stuff that no one's interested in. You're reading this big, long story.
No, wait. The Butterfield Elementary School is at the center of a controversy for the incident which occurred on Monday. According to the father, the teacher told Frankie his drawing of the American flag would offend a Jehovah's Witness student. And John Girard, who's the father, said that we're allowing the Jehovah's Witness student to display his civil rights. Why can't my son?
Right.
Okay. Superintendent Paul Burnham claimed that nobody ever told Frankie the drawing was offensive, that the only reason it wasn't hung was because he was supposed to be doing other work, not drawing a picture. Okay?
That is information and detail that we don't need. And when you bring that out, what you've done is you've taken the steam right out of this piece of material.
What I've done is I've pointed out detail.
Whoa, hold on for a minute. Because I just told you something, and you're giving me an argument.
Yeah, I'm going to give you an argument because the story is decidedly about something different.
No, the story is about this teacher. Boy, this is going to be tough. This is going to be rough.
And what's rough about it, David? The fact that I'm giving you the background here?
The fact that the people listening to your show and other talk shows across this country don't want this stuff about how a little boy drawing an American flag may have run afoul of a school's rules, and therefore the kids are the wrong. We're talking about the American flag as a symbol of our country. A National Guard unit was hoisting it and feeding it, and they were proud of the kid. And what you do is you come along and you turn all of it into just sort of a lukewarm bowl of soup. You know, there's nothing exciting about it.
Well, I'm giving people the information that they need. And I'm giving them the information that they need so that they can make up their minds clearly about this story so that it is not a propaganda piece. Okay?
Well, I think that's very offensive, what you just said right there, Phil.
What?
you calling it a propaganda piece. So in other words, what you're saying is this story is nothing more than a lot of jingoistic stuff, and I think you really have to rethink that. I think you have to say to yourself, what am I saying here when I disrespect the American flag?
And there's no disrespect to the American flag going on here. It's simply giving you all the information, giving my listeners all the information, so they have all the information, so they just don't think it's about the flag being disrespected. Here is the story, as I was reading it to you, the continuation of the story. He was supposed to be doing other work. The unnamed teacher has not commented on the alleged incident. The father said the dispute did not just start with the drawing of the flag. Aha! He said the student in Frankie's class is a Jehovah's Witness and does not pledge allegiance. So,
all right, so what?
So maybe this kid, Frankie, had a problem with his Jehovah's Witness beforehand.
So what you're saying now, you are really now lifting your leg to this whole thing, is you're now saying that this kid, Frankie's a bigot.
And I didn't say anything of the sort. I said that the story says this originated before the flag-drawing incident. This little boy is a Jehovah's Witness. Frankie didn't know much about Jehovah's Witnesses, according to the father. And he asked the classmate why he did not pledge allegiance. They don't pledge allegiance to anything. That was a bit of a misunderstanding between them, but Frankie later apologized to him. Now, what's Frankie apologizing for?
I don't know, but see, this is the point. You're beginning to upset the perception that people have.
No, I'm telling you, this is a very important thing. So we go from a flag that is not hung, and we're told it's because the teacher said the flag offended a student. Now what we're finding out was there was a history between this kid Frankie and this Jehovah's Witness, and that Frankie had to apologize for something that he said to the Jehovah's Witness, and that perhaps the problem originated with this young boy Frankie, perhaps not understanding this Jehovah's Witness and trying to get up into his face if he was told he had to do other work and he's drawing a flag instead.
How's that getting into somebody's face?
Because he knew it would offend the kid, so he decided to draw it.
Well, what you've done is you've gone from the official version, which everyone accepts, which is this teacher doesn't respect the flag, and basically might as well, excuse me for saying it, she might as well have wiped with it. Well, now you're going all the way the other way, and this kid is the problem. That's what I'm talking about. Now, what I'd like you to do is give the phone number out. I want to get some comment on this.
Well, David, I got other things that I want to talk about. We're going to talk about the economy.
No, I understand that, but I want to get comment on this, so...
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445.
And tell the people that are listening, I want them to educate you as to why it is what you've done is unnecessary. We just want to hear about the flag. We don't need to hear about you and your story behind the story is all I'm saying.
The story behind the story is not the story behind the story at all. It is the actual story.
Well, you gave the phone number out. And we got to go to a break.
It's the actual story is what I'm saying. 877-876-7445. So do you believe that when the news tells us that a teacher took a flag down because she doesn't respect the flag and because it was offending a Jehovah's Witness, do you think that that's all I need to say? Or would you like to hear more about the story, folks? Would you like to hear what actually happened?
Don't go talking like that, because that makes me sound like a liar.
What did I say?
Would you like to know what actually happened? I told him what actually happened. You're filling in. What you're doing now is you're adding, excuse me for putting it this way, you're putting cat turds into the soup.
All right, hold the line, 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here with David G. Hall, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Hold on, we're back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, our number 877-876-7445. People want to know what, David?
I think people want to know, I think your listeners want to know if you respect the flag of the United States of America.
Of course I do. My father was in the military, my brother was in the military, my father was a World War II, my brother was a Vietnam veteran. And there's a long tradition and a good and honorable tradition of military service. My parents are immigrants to this country. We had an American flag that we flew every day. We had an American eagle, a beautiful wood-carved eagle in our living room. My parents were extremely proud of their citizenship. And
what do you mean your dad was in World War II if he wasn't an American citizen?
He was a Canadian soldier.
Oh, all right.
He was in Italy. And if you have any questions about the Canadian contribution to World War II, take a look at the military cemeteries in Italy, filled with Canadian soldiers, and France as well. So I have great...
pardon me for interrupting you. Can you do the Pledge of Allegiance?
Yes, I can.
Would you mind doing the Pledge of Allegiance?
I'll do the Pledge of Allegiance, but I'm going to ask you a question. Why?
Because I think the audience at this point wants to know. You're talking about this flag not being hung for, you say it was a good reason that the teacher was punishing the kid, and you're calling this kid some big mouth, I don't know what you're saying, where most people are outraged and they want the flag hung.
Well, I'm giving them the story. If you don't want me to give them the story...
Give them the right story, Phil. Now, what I'd like you to do is, if you can do the Pledge of Allegiance, I'd appreciate it.
And the Pledge of Allegiance will do what?
You know what you're doing is you're delaying.
And no, I'll do it. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. Do you want me to do it with God or not?
I beg your pardon?
Do I do it with God or not?
I want you to do the Pledge of Allegiance.
Do I insert the mention of God?
Do the Pledge of Allegiance. Now what you're doing is you're playing games.
All right, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And you know full well that they eliminated God from the pledge.
See, that's
what I'm saying. I don't think you pay attention. And
all right, you know something? I just did it the way that most people remember it before the Supreme Court changed things. 877-876-7445. Let me talk here to Adam on Long Island in New York. Hello, Adam. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with David G. Hall. We're talking about the Orange, Massachusetts story. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, Mr. Hendry. How are you doing tonight?
Yes, sir. I'm good. Thank you.
I'm just on my way home from work, and I'll be honest. I don't really listen to your show. I just caught it for the first time tonight, and I want to
thank
say
you.
I completely and utterly disagree with the previous caller. I think that it is ridiculous for somebody to just make a judgment on a story just by the headline. And I'm former military.
I agree.
I'm in the United States Marine Corps. I went to Iraq twice. So I'm
very patriotic
with the flag and all that stuff like that. I get very sensitive with that. But when I hear a caller come up and immediately make a judgment on a story over a headline and doesn't get into the whole details of the thing, I think that just sets
that we should know. Now, Adam, I got David G. Hall. He's the vice president of our syndicated effort here. He is still on the line. He was the caller. David, you want to say?
Well, first of all, I want to thank the gentleman for his service to our country. I can't thank him enough. I don't think there's enough thanks in the world. What I'm saying, Adam, is the following thing. We live in a country right now where we're trying to get our kids reoriented back to the idea of an America that has a flag, that has definable borders, that is an entity, a real thing. And to be an American is to be something special. And so when Henry comes along and takes a story about the flag being removed and the teacher did it, and he starts giving me a lot of detail, to me he's lifting his leg to what you did in Iraq and laughing.
Lifting my leg to what he did in Iraq?
That's what it feels like. That's what it feels like. Because what you did, Adam, is you defended our country, our flag, and being a Marine, of course, you know, anybody does anything to a flag, that's a death sentence. Yes, sir.
I'm,
go ahead.
I'm just gonna have to disagree with you again. I mean, I served my country. I defended the Constitution. I'm all for freedom of speech and all that stuff. So, but when I hear somebody making a judgment on a story when they don't know the details, you need to know the details of the story before you can make a decision.
The little boy. You're right. The teacher. To call the teacher unpatriotic.
Yeah, well, see, the little boy was being patriotic.
No, but the teacher was saying to the little boy, it's not that you drew a flag. You were not supposed to be doing that. This was a different project you were supposed to be working on.
Exactly.
Well, but
I don't feel that's a disrespectful thing at all. I think the teacher was disciplining the kid because he wasn't doing the right thing. And he needs to be doing what he needs him to do. It's not like the teacher didn't rip the flag down. The teacher didn't burn the flag. He didn't do anything like that.
Did you hear what Henry did to the Pledge of Allegiance? Did you hear what Henry did to the Pledge of Allegiance?
Listen,
what did I do to it?
You got it wrong.
Under God. One nation under God.
Not since the Supreme Court.
You know that I did the Pledge of Allegiance, right?
Yeah.
Sorry.
One nation under God, Mr. Henry. I completely agree with you 100%.
That's the way that I learned it as a kid.
Yeah, but that's the way you learned it as a kid.
Me too.
You said to me you knew the Pledge of Allegiance, Phil. Now, that's a lie.
Actually, if you remember the speech Obama made after Osama was killed, he actually said under God.
He did. All right, thanks a lot, Adam. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL.
That's
877-876-7445.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number, 877-876-7445. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. And that's where we want you to go to get your backstage pass and watch live streaming video of the show tonight. And for no other reason than you can see me with a haircut.
I appreciate Phil very much, and by the way, I want to talk very fondly and very positively concerning the great video cast that you do at night, and we see Elaine there this evening. But what you're doing is you're really, I think you're putting a lot of people off with your conversation about the flag.
I haven't said anything about the flag. I haven't disrespected the flag. I'm simply saying that a story, and you heard that Marine say, a story that starts off with teacher refuses to hang the flag because it's offensive to a classmate, that's not the real story. You know
you're on in Boston, right? Well, what I'm saying is in Boston they know you're lying. Excuse me for saying it. And
I'm not lying, and I don't want anything characterized that way. I may have at the very, very worst, I may have a difference of opinion, which I don't. I'm reading the story. I've got the story. This boy was told he couldn't draw pictures. He drew a picture of an American flag. There was an issue between this boy and this Jehovah's Witness that transcended anything that the Jehovah's Witness child has learned or any belief system. There was an issue between these two boys. And the father of this boy, Gerard, said his son, quote, apologized. So I'm led to believe by the father that the little boy, Gerard, was the one that instigated it.
So in other words, you take the side of these Muslims. And
I'm not taking the side of a Muslim. This is an American citizen as a Jehovah's Witness. I am not against our flag or our country. I'm trying to tell you that news is being misreported. It's being reported poorly. People are getting the wrong information. And as a result of that, we're dumber than we've ever been, if you want my honest opinion.
Well, hey, boy, with a comment like that, Phil, it's no wonder you run afoul of a lot of people.
No, come on. You know it's true. 877-876-7445. Let's go over to Tim in New York. Hi, Tim. You're on the Phil Henry Show with David G. Hall. Go ahead.
Yeah,
and then Pledge of Allegiance issue.
I'm enjoying
yes,
the
sir.
Discussion as always. Listen, it sounds like you're right, Mr. Phil, that the kids had an issue. And I think one instigated the other. But I grew up a witness as a kid, and I respected the flag. My father was in the military, and I never really pledged allegiance, but I respected the flag. I stood at attention.
Can I ask this gentleman a question? This is David G. Hall. Why did you call him Mr. Phil? Because I think it sounds a little explicit.
I'm a second-time caller. I called before, and I just, out of respect, I just called him Mr.
No, I understand. Well, his name is Mr. Henry, not Mr. Phil. It sounds a little, I shouldn't say, driving Miss Daisy.
All right. You know, that's not necessary. Anyway, go ahead, Tim.
I call you Mr. Too, sir. No, I just said I think he's right. The kids had a little bit between each other. I think the flag had anything.
Right. Right. I don't think it had anything exactly.
Oh, yeah. I don't think the flag has been taken down. Again, grew up a witness all my life. And,
do you know you were a Jehovah's Witness, sir? You were a Jehovah's Witness, sir? Did you go door to door at all? Yes. Yes, sir. Do you know the Pledge of Allegiance?
I'm sorry, Phil?
Do you know the pledge? Do you know the pledge of this, David G. Hall? Do you know the Pledge of Allegiance?
Oh, I'm sorry, David. Not off the heart. I love the rhythm. I grew up.
You don't know the Pledge of Allegiance.
Wow. Out of respect. Yeah, I feel bad.
We learned the
it.
Pledge of Allegiance as young people. We learned the Pledge of Allegiance in school, Tim. You didn't. Of course, you're probably a lot younger than me. And we growing up in the '60s, we said the pledge every day.
I'm going to cut you off. How old do you think I am?
Well, I was going to say 30s.
I am 56 years old.
Well, how come you didn't learn the pledge then? I don't understand that.
Well, again, I grew up a witness. I grew up all through my school years.
Aha! I'm sorry. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, so this is the whole thing. So you're one of the ones that. So do you not sew buttons on your shirt and stuff?
That's a Mennonite, man. It's got nothing to do with Jehovah's Witness.
Do you mind if I ask the gentleman instead of you butting in? Tim, do you.
Go ahead, Mr. David.
Do you? I'm going to ask you, do you sew buttons on your shirt? Do you do that?
I'm sorry, sir?
Do you sew buttons on your shirt? He doesn't know.
No, because that's a Mennonite. All right, Tim, thank you. I'm going to let you go. Thank you very much. And I didn't listen to what the gentleman said. As a Jehovah's Witness, he did not learn the Pledge of Allegiance.
And I think that a lot of people witnessed the fact, Phil, that you didn't know it.
Yes, I did know it. I said it with under God.
That's not in it.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, so you leave out under God. So either way, you're suspect.
I left it out because you said to leave it out.
I didn't tell you to do anything. I said you didn't know it. You don't know the pledge. That is shocking. That would shock any American. And
I know the Pledge of Allegiance with under God and without under God. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, that was disrespectful.
How?
Is that the Pledge of Allegiance?
I was doing it as...
This is what you did. I pledge allegiance. And to me, that is a disrespectful thing when you think of veterans with no legs. When you think of veterans who are missing arms. When you think of veterans who have patches over their eyes. Or their nose is missing. And they're sitting there with what little strength they have. And they're wearing the American Legion hat. And they salute that beautiful flag. And they were injured bad. Didn't you tell me you knew a guy that had three fingers or something?
My father's friend.
Yeah. And there you are going to... And
I was doing it quickly so that you would understand that I know the pledge. And for you to intimate that I don't have respect for our injured veterans, you know, I think it's desperation time. And I don't think you're making your point. Here is Scott on the Phil Henry Show. Scott, go ahead, please.
Well, I'm a 25-year police officer, and I've served 18 years in the military. And I want to say that if I, as a police officer, was to walk into that classroom and arrest that teacher for some kind of an infraction, I would be castigated in the media for being badge-heavy, for not completing my investigation and knowing all the underlying facts as mm-hmm. the decision that was made by that teacher. I think it's important to understand that that's not the complete reason why that action was taken. We have to know that.
Well, but, sir, you understand we're talking about the flag. Who needs... What are you talking about?
What the teacher did with the flag, but you're not talking about what the motivation may have been. You're jumping to a conclusion based upon a brief overview of some of the facts and not the full story.
Well, the story says...
Well, this is a good point. This is a police officer talking, okay?
I understand that, Phil. He told me that.
Well, what he's saying is... He, you know, to investigate the evidence, to come up with the truth is what they do.
Oh, is that right? Well, thank you, Officer Phil. I heard what the guy said, and I understand that as a law enforcement official, he has to look for the evidence. Is this a stink of a crime, or is it just a turd in a bag? Is that correct, sir? You have to look. Now, the headline says, teacher refused to hang students, American flag drawing, deemed offensive to classmate. Okay, is that true or not?
The flag...
Is it true or not?
The flag's offensive. It's not offensive to Jehovah's Witnesses. They don't salute it. They don't. It's a religious thing where they do not pledge allegiance to it.
See, look at how you're doing a dance. Was it offensive or was it not?
I don't know if it's offensive.
I think the headline is making a conclusion about
thank
a story
you.
Without
yes.
knowing all the facts.
Boy, I've seen all kinds of dishonesty in my day. But you two guys...
What are we saying? The police officer's backing me up by saying you have to have the facts. Now, if the teacher said to the kid, don't draw, This is a time in class. You do something else. This boy draws this flag. We know that he had a beef with this kid. The father told him to apologize. It's very possibly drew the flag to piss off this Jehovah's Witness kid or otherwise get into his face. The teacher tells him to not do that, takes the flag down. Next thing you know, we got a news story.
And I think what you've done, Phil, is you've taken the hopes and aspirations of a lot of people who wanted to call the show tonight and defend the flag, and you've basically, as I said...
I know. I've lifted my leg to it.
That's right.
Well, you're wrong, and I appreciate the police officer calling and backing me up. Thank you very much, sir. 877-876-7445. By the way, we didn't hear this father, John Girard. He spoke with WWLP Television about the controversy, and here is the father of this boy, this little boy, Frankie Girard. Here's his dad, John Girard, talking about it.
He was denied hanging the flag up, and he had asked if he could even just hang it on his desk, and he was told no, that he could take the picture that he drew home, hang it on his wall, and be proud of it there.
Yeah, he was probably told he could take it home and, for all she cared, wipe with it.
And why would you think that the teacher would tell a child something like that?
Because of the disrespect that was shown. See, we're doing talk radio, and right now in talk radio, what everybody's agreed on is everybody knows that when you listen to talk radio, you support the flag, and all of the other people, Rush Limbaugh, all of that.
And everybody knows that, huh?
Wow, so you don't love your country, huh?
Sir, I didn't say that. You're telling me that everybody knows in talk radio you got to be, in other words, a right-winger?
Yes, you have to be right of center. And you're not doing that. What are you doing? You're saying, oh, well, there's other facts. This cop, you know, he's talking about a murder. I'm talking about the lousy flag.
You just called it the lousy flag. If I wanted to be really small-minded about it, I could have said, look at how you insulted our flag, you know?
What?
That's exactly what you're doing with me, making a big deal out of nothing. 877-876-PHIL. Here is George in Buffalo. Hi, George. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Thanks. I was
yes, sir.
I only had 2 points, but now I have three. First, he's fishhooking you with that Pledge of Allegiance, man. Don't fall into his...
No kidding.
Well, how am I fishhooking him? I said he doesn't know the pledge.
My other 2 points are, I think it's irresponsible not to get all the facts about stories, because when you don't get all the facts, you end up invading a country looking for weapons of mass destruction. The second, my third point is, it's not a flag. It was a picture. It was just a picture of a flag. If it was an actual flag, maybe. But you need all the facts. The kid's a troublemaker. He wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. Was he supposed to be doing his math work? Or was he supposed to be drawing?
He was not supposed to be drawing.
So, in other words, sir, I would ask you, because it's a... Did he hang up? Well, if it was a picture... Okay, if that was a picture, would you wipe with it? You would, wouldn't you?
Maybe if it was...
You'd wipe with it.
What an asinine...
Sure.
What an asinine question.
You'd wipe with an American flag. That's what I mean. When you say it's not an American flag...
Completely irrelevant.
No, I think it's very relevant when you say it's not a flag. Because even if it's a drawing, I don't know of anybody that would take it and go ahead and wipe.
With a piece of paper?
What are you laughing at? What? Let me ask you a question, Phil. Have you ever gone to a joke store and got an American flag toilet paper?
I don't even think I wouldn't buy it if they had it.
They've got it.
Well, I don't know who would buy that. Okay?
Yeah, see? Because you think it's the flag.
No, it's the symbol of the flag. American flag toilet paper would be the symbol of the flag. I wouldn't wipe with that either.
Bob,
all right?
And you don't even know the pledge.
All right. George, yeah.
Bottom line is you need all the facts. Because when you don't get all the
exactly.
facts... You end up invading a country.
Oh, that's coming.
Looking for weapons.
Well, all the facts. Oh, he came in because he's got an axe to grind with Bush. Here's a guy that would wipe with the flag. That's all we need to know about him.
No, he didn't say that. All right, George, thanks very much for your call. I appreciate it. I don't agree with him on the weapons of mass destruction thing, because the fact is the facts weren't in, and, you know, I'm not going to get into that.
Oh, look at this. This guy's going to start. Do you want to argue the Iraq war now? You don't even know the Pledge of Allegiance. You're going to defend President Bush? And
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
Give it up. You know,
I've said it five different ways.
Five different ways? There's only two ways, with, under God, or without. And both ways are wrong.
What? 877-876-7445. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back with more from David G. Hall in our final segment. as we continue talking here about this issue in Orange, Massachusetts, where an American flag drawn by a child was not hung in the classroom. The story says that the flag was offensive to a fellow student. Well, as we've dug deeper into it, and we haven't gotten wrapped up in all of the I love my flag stand. I do love the flag, but come on. We got to start getting the facts with these stories, folks. We are allowing ourselves to be dragged around by the nose. And, you know, believe me, we just need the facts. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
To call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Next hour, we'll talk about what everybody was a-Twitter about today on Twitter and elsewhere. The fact that they found porn in Bin Laden's hideout. And we'll find out, and we'll discuss that, and we'll see whether that makes any difference at all. I find it interesting from the standpoint that this guy's a jive. You know, these cats with their jihad horse dung, and they're so much into Allah, and they're into Sharia law, and they're into the old ways, and they're into the this, and they're into the that, and they're into, these guys are nothing but a bunch of slobs at the heart and soul of the whole thing. They're nothing but a bunch of they're nothing but criminals. I mean, there's, you know, they're no better than anybody that uses Christianity as a front for some criminal enterprise, be it the Nazis or the Klan or whatever. 877-876-7445. So, David, you've heard people, and I wonder if you have at all softened your stance in terms of this young man with the flag.
Well, my point has always been, Phil, that the American flag is the symbol of our country, and that whenever we can do something to prop up the flag, we should. And I think what you did tonight is you took the opportunity to throw more water on the fire. You know, we need to be more patriotic. It's the way that the radio, all of the great, all of the good stations do, you know, they do the flag.
What is this about radio, or is this about the flag, or is this about...
It's about the flag. It's about the flag. For the purposes of the audience, it's about the flag. It's, yes, it's about radio, because all, as I said, all the stations that everybody wants to talk about, they're, you know, you're asking me questions a little embarrassing here. And
well, because, you know, I suspect, as much as I love our country and I love our flag, well, we got radio stations that are now using it as a product. You know, the whole conservative radio thing, the flag is now a product. The flag is now a commodity. It's something that you buy and you sell for the commercial enhancement of a radio station. Hi, here's the flag. You know, hi, here's the, you know.
Well, you call your show for Radio for Patriots by Patriots.
Well, it's a word, man. I mean, that's not a flag, you know.
Well, what I'm saying, what do you mean it's a word? Patriot means something.
Of course it means something. A lot of words mean things. But I'm not waving the flag like it's the symbol of the radio show. You know, and that's what I think is going on here.
No, it ain't going on here. I said that, you know, if you're talking about Savage and guys like that, they are, that's where it's at. Okay, that's all I'm trying to say.
No, well, I don't know what it is you're trying to say, man. That's the show that I do is the show that I do.
The show that you do is the show that you do. Well, that's brilliant.
Well, you know what? If you don't understand it, I don't know what to tell you. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Doug in Albany, New York. Doug, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to know if Dave reads the National Enquirer. I mean, you don't let the facts get in the way of the story. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, find
National
out
Enquirer, those are the guys that broke the story on John Edwards, so I wouldn't be disrespecting the National Enquirer. They've got a lot
broke
of facts.
The story on UFO sighted over Arizona. You believe that, too?
No, that was World Weekly News.
Well, whatever. The guys talk. You know what exactly the man is saying. They'll say anything to sell papers. And these guys, and that's a very good point, Doug. They'll say anything to sell newspapers. They'll say anything to push a news story these days.
Why do you say that?
What do you mean, why do I say that, man? Every time I turn around, they'll say anything, any bullcrap, to push a news story.
Why did the gentleman bring up the National Enquirer? That shows me that he's not up on the news.
Well, it's all about headlines and not about facts. They try to sell the papers, try to get the ratings. Let's know the facts, man.
The John Edwards story was broke by the National Enquirer, and it was true, so you got your newspapers wrong.
Okay, all right, so we got his newspapers wrong. So he didn't mention them.
I'm telling you that the National Enquirer, you brought up the wrong paper. They're the guys that blew the whole John Edwards thing wide open. Okay?
Well, you know what? And I'll bet you anything they get this story right, too. Yeah, thanks very much, Doug, for your call. David, I appreciate you joining us, although we didn't talk at all about the economy.
Well, you know what? That's the way life goes sometimes, Phil. Sometimes I really want you to think about what it is you've been doing tonight, what damage you've done to our country tonight. And
what damage did I do to the country?
When you're talking about that kid, were you the guy that brought up, would you wipe with the flag or something like that?
No, you did.
Well, I don't remember doing that.
Yes, you did. You said, oh, well, the kid drew a picture, huh? Would you wipe with it? That, to me, was a little trivial.
Well, you said you wouldn't wipe with American flag toilet paper. You said it was a symbol. That's when you started agreeing with me, and then you pulled it back. That's the kind of duplicity I don't like.
All right, David, thank you. We'll talk to you next time.
When's that going to be?
All right, 877-876 Phil Bin Laden and porn Phil next. And what a disgusting thought.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Like I said, I do the Botox myself. It's safe.
All right, everybody, next shot wins.
He was denied hanging the flag up.
Crying like a baby.
World famous Phil Henry Show here, and tonight we are going to be bringing on Vernon Dozier in just a moment to talk about Bin Laden and porn. Yes, the world-famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Going places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. They won't. They ain't got the guts. Woo! All right, 877-876-7445. And don't forget, our website is philhenryshow.com. I better get it off that shot, bud.
No, I liked it.
I've had it on our video cast here this evening. I've had the same shot for the last 3 minutes of our new Phil Henry Show T-shirt. All right, it's off of that shot. And now you see me in our alien lair. This is, I think, is this one that Jason, the other Jason?
Yeah, the Twitter Jason.
Boy, dude, get that fixed, man.
No kidding. What?
That Yeah, so that's our alien lair. Turn off the air, man. Don't have the fan running, Robert. Don't ever have a fan running, man, when I got a live microphone. You got that wind blowing right into the mic, okay?
Yeah, well, they can't hear that, man, as long as they're.
Yeah, but this is what it sounds like. 877-876-7445. Porn found in Bin Laden hideout, according to officials. A stash of pornography was found in the hideout of Osama bin Laden by the U.S. commandos who killed him, current and former U.S. officials said on Friday. Current and former U.S. officials. What would be the former U.S. officials?
Probably Hillary Clinton or something.
What do you mean Hillary Clinton? She still works for the whatever it is, the United States government. Nonetheless, the pornography recovered in bin Laden's compound in Abbottabad consists of modern, electronically recorded video and is fairly extensive, according to the officials who discussed the discovery with Reuters on condition of anonymity. And because it was Reuters, that anonymity ain't going to last very long. Former Navy SEAL Chris Heben, who's had experience tracking down Muslim extremists, spoke with CNN about the porn stash of bin Laden's compound. He is not shocked.
I'm not too terribly surprised. I mean, what we need to remember here is that we're all human. We're all a part of the human race. And as such, you know, even hardcore Muslims and Muslim extremists are human as well. There is a saying in the Muslim circles and Muslim communities that when you are away from Mecca, Allah is blind.
Okay, not quite sure what that means. On the line with us is Vernon Dozier. He is a high school teacher in Glendale, California. And you are on the front lines every day, Mr. Dozier, of, well, really, of the battle of hearts and minds in America. as a high school teacher, and I know that you are teaching civics, and you are the primary, I think, for your seniors, right, Mr. Dozier, in terms of civics and history?
Yeah, Phil, it's my great pleasure, and I have been for the last 15 years. I've been the student advisor on the student council, as well as the student advisor for our seniors and our debate team.
All right, so this is something that is going to be discussed with high school students, the porn in Bin Laden's hideout. Now, tell me, how do you approach this topic with kids?
It's a funny thing. I have to tell you, what I said to the kids today was essentially that I was honest with them. And I also told them something that got a few of them upset, but I've always been honest with my students. I said to them, you have to understand something, that Osama bin Laden was a terrorist, he was a criminal, and he also was an individual who engaged in the viewing of pornography, which violates the religion that he professes to believe in. And I said to my kids, I said, you know, the adult world is full of all kinds of people, I said, and adults in America view pornography as well. And I said, as a matter of fact, I do.
And you told your students that.
I did, and I told them that for a reason. I had to tell them that because I told them your own parents most likely have videotapes of this or that.
Well, are you talking to the students in what class?
These are my seniors. These are my seniors. These are my graduating seniors. And
all right, so those are the oldest. Those are the only ones you talked to about this?
Well, and I also spoke to some of the juniors because we have combined classes. But I spoke very candidly with them. And
all right, so you're telling these kids that your own, you're telling them that their parents view pornography. What if their parents don't? I mean, you don't know their parents, do you?
You know something, Phil? It's an interesting thing. I feel like I know their parents. I've gotten to know their parents over the number of years that I've taught these kids. And I do feel like I know their parents a little bit. I do feel like I've sized them up a little. And I don't think I'm far off in saying to a lot of my students that your parents most likely, and they're good people, I said, but most likely from what I've seen and what I've, you know, what I pick up on, I think it's highly likely that a lot of your parents, in the privacy of their own home, watch pornography.
And boy, that's a hell of a thing to tell a student, don't you think?
In what sense, Phil?
Well, isn't that a hell of a thing to say to a young person about their parent? Boy, it's more, you know, I've sized up your mom and I've sized up your dad, and the two of them look like they probably engage in looking at pornography.
I'm not quite following you.
Well, I'm asking you to view this through the eyes of a student or through, you know, hearing this. They love their parents.
Well, of course they love their parents. I'm not telling them not to love their parents. I'm telling them what their parents love besides them. I'm telling them what, if you will, what gets their cookies or however you want to put it.
All right. You know, that's, to me, that, I got to tell you, and I'm not a teacher, and you know more about it than I do.
Well, there's the secret, right? I do know more about it. I'm a teacher, but you are, you know, Phil, as a parent, of course you're entitled to your opinion.
I'm just saying that when you say to a student, hey, Susie, or hey, Billy, or whoever.
I have to tell you one thing, Phil. It's been a long time since kids were named Susie and Billy. You know,
all right. Hey, Justin. Hey, Melissa. You know.
That's more like it.
Okay. Hey, Justin. Hey, Melissa. Your parents, I've sized them up. I've met them. And I got to tell you, they're the kind of people that most likely watch porn.
That is correct, yes. And I think that the kids appreciate, that's my perception. That's my perception.
And do the kids ever correct you?
Well, I wouldn't call it correct me. They offer their opinion. I will say to them, now that's your opinion. You know, I never let a student say to me, no, you're wrong. I will not allow that in my class. If you allow that, you begin to, you're going down a slippery slope. You never allow a student to say, no, you're wrong. What you do allow a student to say is, you know, Mr. Dozier, I have my opinion on that. My opinion is my parents don't watch porn. And I'll say, well, my opinion is they do. And we can discuss it.
And the purpose of this is what? And why are we talking about it? We're talking about Bin Laden.
Well, I'm not trying to get you upset here, Phil.
No, you're not. Well, I'm not upset. I'm disturbed a little bit by this discussion with students that their parents watch porn.
Well, the whole point of what I'm trying to say to you is the following thing. I think the time once I found out that this man, Bin Laden, this Osama Bin Laden, this man who had committed mass murder, let's not kid ourselves. We know exactly what this man did. We know exactly what he is. He's a man that committed mass murder. And I think that if this individual, along with committing mass murder, along with having five wives, along with stealing and with all of the things this man does, trafficking and illegal weapons, what have you, probably is, I wouldn't doubt it if this man, Bin Laden, and this Al-Qaeda was trafficking in illegal drugs.
Probably.
All right. If this guy also sat down at night and relaxed to porn, then I call upon every adult, every human being in America, and you know who you are, and I've admitted to you, Phil, I've admitted to your audience, and I would hope, Phil, that you would admit to it, I would say, get rid of all your porn.
I don't watch porn. I know you don't.
Come on, will you?
No, I don't. I mean, I admit I've bought it, okay?
What I'm trying to do here, Phil, if you could just for a moment allow me, we need honesty. I'm asking people, we know Bin Laden watched porn. As Americans, if we know that Bin Laden watched pornography, as Americans, we should stop watching pornography. I don't think we should go anywhere near anything that gave that man the least amount of pleasure.
I'm telling you that I don't own porn, but I will admit that I have watched it on pay-per-view.
I think that's the most gutless.
Hey, watch that. If I'm telling you the truth,
all right.
If I'm telling you the truth, you have to buy it. I don't own it. I have watched it on pay-per-view or whatever the hell you want to call it, on demand.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, Vernon, you don't have to believe me, man. All right, let's say that I do own porn, okay?
Well, let's say. I'm saying, Phil, look, I understand you, and I understand a lot of the men and women listening to your program tonight. They don't want to admit to owning it, because then you have to add, the next question is, what kind? And you get into those, and it's very embarrassing, but some people own. The things that some people think is, like this man who was the coach of the New York Jets, who disgraced every coach. I was shocked when I saw Rex Ryan with this foot fetish thing. I was shocked, and I felt disgraced, I felt filthy.
But what, Rex Ryan and his wife with the foot fetish thing, how did that affect you?
Because he's a football coach like I am. And what he did, and what he talked about, tainted every football coach in America. So what I'm trying to say is the following thing. If Osama bin Laden enjoyed porn, then I call upon every adult in America that looks at porn, that watches porn, that has a porn collection, and that's just about everybody that's in the sound of my voice. You know it. I know it. They know it. Their kids know it.
And telling their kids that their parents watch porn because you've sized them up is the wrong thing.
Hold on, Phil. Let's not change the subject now. Okay.
We're not changing the subject. As soon as you said that.
No, let's not change the subject, because you said you didn't watch porn, and you said, yes, you do. Now, what kind of porn do you own? And
well, you know something, man? That's none of your business. I just got done. I copped to it. I said, I'll admit I own porn. I don't. But
well, what does that mean?
Because I don't want to listen to you all hour, man. Last hour, I had the same thing with David Hall saying, well, yeah, sure, Phil. You don't know the Pledge of Allegiance. So if you want to believe I own porn, then believe I own porn, okay? Now, Phil owns porn. What do you want me to do with it?
I want you to throw it in the garbage. And I want everybody that's listening, and I want all the parents of the kids that I teach, to throw it in the garbage. And they know who they are, and they can pretend.
All right, 877, hold on for a minute. 877-876-7445. Should we continue to watch pornography if we know that Bin Laden watched porn? Do we want to partake of the same so-called quote-unquote pleasures that Bin Laden partook of? Do we want to enjoy ourselves and relax the same way that he did? Does it now make it an odious and unacceptable thing that if Osama Bin Laden enjoyed himself watching porn, then we should stop watching porn too? We have with us Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy, and he also said that he told his students that he watches porn, and that many of their parents do, too. How does he know? He sized them up when he met them. 877-876-7445. We'll be right back here with more from Vernon Dozier and the Bin Laden porn story on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome back here. Vernon Dozier is with us. You were talking, I was just watching that too, Vernon. We were talking about the show on Military Channel on the SEALs.
I think it's a great show, Phil. And I tell you, it's got survivor beat. And I think that when we talk about the American fighting man, these young men who are training to be Navy SEALs, this incredible, intense physical undertaking, okay? And then we're talking about porn. The American people are sitting down and looking at this filth while our young men are training. And
look at the young men that are involved in whatever aspect of military life they're involved in with the special forces. This is their choice, and this is, thank God, we have a volunteer force. And I say that. There's a lot of people who don't remember when we had a draft. I do. It sucked. That's their choice in life, and they understand the country they're defending. It's a country full of people that like porn. You know.
Well, I don't buy that at all, and I certainly don't buy it in light of the fact that Bin Laden was a porn fan. You think I want to have anything to do with that garbage? So again, I challenge every adult listening to me to take the porn, to take your porn collection, and you know you have one. And
you know, that's the part that offends me.
What?
The assumption that you are making about the parents of those kids you teach, everybody listening, take your porn collection, and you know you have one. I'm telling you that I don't. I'm not denying that I watch porn, okay? I'm telling you I don't have tapes.
Oh, yeah, what, every night you watch it?
No, not every night, and I'm not going to get into that. I think it would be ridiculous of me to deny having watched it, okay?
Oh, having? What, you're pretending like Bill Clinton, who didn't...
You understand what I'm saying, all right?
Who didn't inhale, you know?
You understand what I'm saying. We're not going to make a larger issue out of it. 877-876-7445. Let's go to Jeremiah in Pennsylvania. Jeremiah, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Vernon Dozier. Go ahead.
That's what I was saying. You know.
Good.
I don't know. I just don't understand where this guy gets his information from that he believes that everyone in the United States owns porn or some kind of porn addict or something like that. I have watched it in the past. I have owned a few magazines here and there, but I haven't owned any. I haven't watched any in about probably 10 years. And to be quite honest, it's just because it doesn't do anything for me. And I'm sure I'm not the only one out there like that. It offends me that he can sit here and honestly, I think he believes what he's saying, that everyone owns this. But how is he going to, when you're telling him you don't, he doesn't know you or me or anyone else that well to say
right.
Yes, you do.
Well, sir, I think that's a very good point the gentleman's making. But, sir, I'm a teacher, and I'm an American, and you're an American.
Yeah.
And you're going to tell me you don't own porn. You know you do. And there's nothing wrong with that. What I'm trying to say is the following thing. The day has come where we take the porn and throw it into the garbage can where it belongs because Bin Laden was getting his cookies. And
I don't appreciate that language.
I apologize, but Bin Laden was sitting there and enjoying it. I think any American who watches porn from this day forward, I think disrespects the memory of those people.
Oh, boy.
See, what does old boy mean?
That's a real stretch.
First off, you don't even know me. You probably don't even know my name or where I live or anything about me. Who are you to say?
Jeremiah. Your name's Jeremiah.
Or what? Yeah, okay, you know my name now. You don't know anything about me. You don't know what kind of house I live in, what kind of car I drive.
You live in Lebanon, Pennsylvania.
I said he lived in Lebanon, Pennsylvania, and I said his name was Jeremiah, okay? So we got that much information.
All right.
Okay.
I just want to say that.
But how are you going to tell me, or half the people listening to the show, probably don't even own porn, probably seen it before.
And you're male.
Yeah.
Okay, we understand, David. He's male, and his name is Jeremiah, and he lives in Lebanon.
Well, he said that I didn't know anything about him. What I'm trying to say is there's no disgrace.
Who are you to say, especially in school, to your seniors to tell them that their parents own porn? And maybe they do, and they don't want their kids to know it. Who are you to say that they own porn? That's probably not part of the curriculum, I would imagine.
Well, because I've sized them up. I've looked at them. I can guarantee you this, and this is coming from as a person who observes human behavior. Wherever you see a married couple where the husband is shorter than the wife. Now, don't ask me why this is true. Don't ask me why this is true. It might have something to do with, I don't know what it has to do with. Wherever you see a married couple where the husband is shorter than the wife, that is a solid gold. That's solid gold if they watch porn. Now, I don't know why that is.
What do you? Where do you get that information?
I would rather not. I'd rather not say. I'd rather not say.
I mean, and this is an honest to goodness question. I mean,
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Do you? I mean, have you in the past? Are you a porn addict? Where you believe that everyone in the United States has the same problem that you did, or something? Because I can tell you, I don't know. Because I don't know how you can honestly say and believe what you're saying. I don't understand.
Well, sir, because how do you understand? Sir, it's a multi-billion-dollar business. We know it makes a lot of money. We know that ever since the advent of the Internet, that even common people, middle-class people, women as well as men, access it. We know that it makes an enormous amount of money. So you can't tell me that that's just like 5% of the population.
And I agree with that. I'm not disputing that fact whatsoever. But you cannot.
What I'm trying to say is, what I'm saying to you is that if you have women who are taller than their husbands,
women that are taller than their husbands
are especially addicted to pornography, yes. Bodybuilders, because of certain inhibitions that they have, that the steroid or whatever.
You're endorsing prejudicial judgments because you're saying you looked at these people and you sized them up and you can say that they...
That's a good point.
Exactly.
That's almost like profiling.
You're stereotyping people that lift weights or that are tall or... I mean, how can you...
People that lift weights are they're repressed, sexually repressed. People lift weights because there's too much muscle tension. And if you have a man and a woman that both lift, they are definite porn addicts.
If you have a husband and a wife that are both into weights?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
All right, listen, Jeremiah, thank you for your call. I think it was a terrific call. We'll be back with more from Vernon Dozier. It's a ridiculous notion, I think, that everybody in America looks at porn. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Well, we'll find out. Oh, yeah.
Phil Henry. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here with Vernon Dozier, and we're talking with him about Bin Laden and the porn that was found in his hideout. I say hideout, this so-called million-dollar palatial. You know, $1 million wouldn't get you a garage in Southern California. I'm just talking about the Southern California real estate market, which you all know is depending upon who you talk to, it's either really, really overpriced or it's hit rock bottom and it's just the most devastating thing in the world that I can't get more for my garage. But nonetheless, $1 million in some places will get you a lot in this country, and in some places won't get you much. In Pakistan,
I can tell you it doesn't look like it gets you much, but we do know he has a lot of money.
All right. Well, I would buy that. Now, to the extent that this man was looking at porn, you think that that is an immediate call to arms that the American people not watch porn anymore?
Absolutely, Phil. I don't even know why anybody would give me an argument about that. I mean, if you watch porn, and again, and this is where you and I are disputing, you can't tell me that the American people aren't watching porn, and they are watching lots of it, and they are most likely watching aberrant kinds of porn, involving aberrant types of sex. A lot of them would probably be embarrassed or ashamed to. That's why I asked you. You're not going to tell me, okay, fine.
Let me ask you something. Do you watch porn?
Not anymore, I don't.
But you told your students that you did.
Yes, I did, and I wanted to make that point. I told my students that I watched porn and that I watched, white on black, black on white, Asian. And
you got into a specific kind of porn with your underage high school students.
The point that I was making, Mr. Henry, I didn't plant porn in Bin Laden's compound, okay?
No, I know you didn't, but are you telling me that on top of telling these kids I sized up your parents... And your mother's taller than... I gotta tell you, I think it's really funny.
Well, you can go ahead and laugh if you want to.
Well, your mother's taller than your father, so they must watch porn. You also mentioned to me during the break that... what was this? If the father is Asian and the mother is Anglo...
Oh, there's no question that's porn. That's just... In other words, what you're doing is... It's not what you call... what was I going to say? is stereotyping and profiling. Single parents, if your parents are farmers, if they do agriculture, all of these things add up to a parent that is probably up to their ears in filth, and it's hard to say. So that's why I'm saying, boy, if ever there was a clarion call for the American people to finally, once and for all, take their pornography out to the garbage can and throw it in, it's the fact that we found out that this piece of garbage was watching it too.
And I want to get to this. Your students found out from you what kind of porn you watch.
Because they talked about it with Bin Laden.
They didn't say what kind.
The hell they did. They talked about how they might be encoding secret messages in it. And I believe one of them said that there was some kind. I'm sure I heard them mention what kind, but they were talking specifically about what they could do with it.
Oh, that may well be in terms of the espionage or how they trade messages, but I didn't hear anybody talking about what kind. Let's talk to Ryan in Mobile, Alabama. Ryan, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Vernon Dozier.
Oh, yes, sir. My argument is, he said, stop watching pornographic films because Osama bin Laden watched pornographic films. Well, if Osama bin Laden was fishing or eating ice cream, can we say that that's evil also? And yes, he is right. Just about everybody watches pornographic films. I watch pornographic films. That is a release of your natural human instincts to want to mate. When you don't have somebody to mate with, or you're not satisfied with the person you're mating with, you have fantasies.
Well, it depends. Unless it's gay porn.
When a man goes to the beach and sees a woman in a very sexy bathing suit, he's going to fantasize about that woman. That is the exact same thing as watching porn. That man.
Unless it's gay.
Watching that is ludicrous. That is ridiculous.
I'm saying to you, sir, that if Osama bin Laden relaxed watching Christian women give it up for Muslim men, I don't know what kind of stuff they were doing.
What?
You know what I'm talking about. Doing his leisure time has anything to do with his sadistic actions whatsoever.
I think that this man, this Osama bin Laden, when he wasn't murdering human beings by the bushel, enjoyed watching pornography of Christian women giving it up for these Muslims.
Will you get serious?
Fantasy.
Would you get serious?
Yeah, his fantasy. A humiliating fantasy. And I would say that we stop watching pornography altogether so that we don't become like him. That's my challenge for the American people.
Well, I mean, if Osama bin Laden, like I said again, if Osama bin Laden was fishing, are we going to stop fishing so we don't become like him? That makes no sense at all.
I don't see it the same way. I think that pornography is completely unnecessary. Fishing is a way of getting food. The man walked. Am I going to stop walking? No. He probably drove a car.
Exactly.
No, but pornography is a way of relaxing, and I don't think you can bond with anybody more tightly than if you relax the same way they do. You want to sit back with those? Let me ask you something, sir. You say you watch porn. Would you kick with Osama and watch some porn with him?
What? What a stupid.
Yeah, I don't like being laughed at.
Well, what a stupid question.
It's not a stupid question. Would you kick with Obama watching porn?
Everybody watches porn. That's just a fact.
Yeah, but would you sit down and watch porn with him?
No, of course he wouldn't.
I mean, watching porno is fantasizing to yourself. It is not something you enjoy with someone else. Like I said before, when a man sees a woman in a very revealing bathing suit, he thinks nasty thoughts. That is the same thing as you watching porno. That is
the
least of your fantasy.
Okay. Now I know that when you see a 100-year-old woman in a revealing bathing suit, you get, you know.
He didn't say that.
Yes, he most certainly did.
If you're attracted to a 100-year-old woman, then yeah, that's natural. I'm attracted to I'm 21 years old. When I see a 21-year-old woman half naked, I get attracted to her. That's a natural.
Well, how do you know? How do you know how old she is? I'm saying you said that if you see a woman in a revealing bathing suit who happens to be 50, you'd get hot.
He didn't say that, and now what you're doing is you're trying to protect your own point of view by making these ridiculous statements. I'm talking about Vernon. Thank you, though, for your call. 877-877-6745. That asinine statement about a 50-year-old woman.
He said if he saw a woman in a revealing bathing suit.
Yeah, I know what he said. And you, if she's 100, if she's 50, he said a woman of his own age. Okay?
Yes, I understand that, Phil, but at least I will give the young man this much. He did admit to watching porn. And so, and he sounded like a normal human being. He wasn't fidgeting and sounded like one of these nervous. When I look at a lot of the parents of the kids that I teach, and that's why I told the kids, I can size up your parents. I know whether they watch porn or not. When I see some of these fidgeting, nervous-looking parents, and there's a lot of them that are nervous, they got sweat, you can tell. There's sweat gleaming off their foreheads. You know, at home, they've got something burning a hole in a drawer someplace.
What is the pornography?
Hello?
877-876-7445. Should we stop watching pornography now that we know Osama bin Laden watched pornography? Robert, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Vernon Dozier. Go ahead, please.
No, I don't think we should stop watching porn. In reference to your last caller, I fish to relax. I watch porn to relieve stress. So did bin Laden.
And that makes you like him.
Bin Laden, look, you have an issue with porn. You're just using bin Laden as a platform to deliver your personal views of porn in America?
No, sir. No, I do not. When I told you and I told my students that I watch porn probably more than most men. When I found out that bin Laden had a stash of porn, that's all it took for me.
What else did he do that I should... Change my life and stop doing because he did it. And while we're at bin Laden, why don't we talk about other people in history who were mass murderers who did certain things.
Well, sir, I'm saying this is a man that killed 3,000 of our own people. He murdered Americans. He was a guy that we were looking for. He was a guy that we actively sought because he injured the American people. Now, it doesn't bother you to know that that man shares your interests?
No, it makes me feel good. That he didn't follow through with his belief. He killed in a belief, and he obviously had faults in those beliefs. And it makes me feel good that it was a crazy person and it wasn't a cause. But
well,
that killed 3,000 people.
Yeah, who also enjoyed the very things you enjoy. Porn. Now,
I enjoy other things in life, too. I love animals. So did Hitler. But he didn't like people very much, did he?
He liked German people, fine, and he liked little kids. No, Hitler liked people as long as they were white. What are you laughing at, Phil?
Well, I mean, this is a ridiculous conversation, you know.
Well, in his mind, they weren't. In Hitler's mind, Jews were about as dark as the inside of a cow.
What is this conversation we're having, okay? I mean, if you're talking about whether because a man enjoys pornography, I realize that the experience that we had on 9/11 carries through to this day, resonates with us very, very deeply. The 10th anniversary is coming up, so it's going to be a hell of a year. And bin Laden has just been killed. So this is a very immediate thing. It has a great deal of power, a lot of impact. But to say that we must give up watching porn, we must not. You're not giving us an option here, Vernon. You're saying we must. Sounds almost obsessive and obsessive. Obsessive and compulsive.
Hold on for a minute. Dr. Phil.
Well, you can be as sarcastic as you want, but that's exactly what it sounds like. Very compulsive and very ill.
I told my students, I had the guts to say to them, I watch porn. And I won't get into the specifics, but some of it's pretty extreme. But I'm throwing it out.
You told your underage high school students that?
For the 15th time, yes, I did. And you know what? They stood up and applauded. And they said to me that they've been waiting for an adult to be honest with them. And I was the first one to be honest with them all day about that. They got up en masse, 40 kids, and gave me a round of applause.
Well, I don't know. They're kids. They want the approval.
Oh, they're kids. They want you. You won't give me the satisfaction of knowing that my students appreciate me.
All 50 stood up and gave you a round of applause when you said what?
When I said to them, it was basically like an AA meeting. I said, my name is Vernon Dozier, and I watch filth. And they stood up, 50 of them, and applauded. And the reason they did that is because they knew that they'd seen the story about Osama bin Laden. They were waiting for their parents to come clean, and they didn't. So I had to tell them which one of their parents watched this garbage. What kind? Is it bondage? Is it?
All right. Listen, thanks very much for your call, sir, Robert. 877-876-7445.
Was there a guy on the line?
Yeah, there was. He was being very polite.
Well, I did.
So you said to your students this morning, I watch porn, and they gave you a round of applause.
Exactly. That's why I did. Well, you know, I was being sarcastic.
Yeah, you were being sarcastic.
Well, excuse me, Phil, but I'm trying to make some points here that are very important. And when I said to my students, my name is Vernon Dozier, and I watch BD movies.
Hey!
The reason for that is because they appreciated, finally, honesty. Real, live honesty from an adult.
My name is Vernon Dozier, and I watch B&D movies.
Right.
877-876-7445. We have one more segment with Vernon Dozier, who admitted to his students this morning that he watches porn, but he's not going to do it anymore now that he found out that Osama bin Laden watched porn, and further, that all Americans should cease their viewing of pornography. 877-876-7445. And of course, our news and information hour coming up next hour here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here with Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy. And we are discussing with Vernon this idea that Osama bin Laden was a guy that watched porn. And as a result of that, because of the great criminality of this man, because of the unbelievable, just the unbelievable criminality of this man, the fact that he would watch porn would should drive us all to the conclusion we should not watch it.
Phil, can I say one thing? I was watching you during a break playing with your iPhone. And I don't mean to say playing with your iPhone, but we've got to, you know, I'm talking about the morality of our young people. And I'm talking about the fact that we've got adults out there that watch every kind of filth there is. And you're playing with your iPhone looking for your on-demand. And I think that your audience should know this, because you come on, you know, and I respect you, Phil, but when you come off as the moral leader of your audience, and meanwhile, during the break, you're playing, you know, you're playing with your phone. And
I was showing my audience how to pull up the streaming video on demand on their iPhone. Yes, I was.
The what?
The streaming video on demand. Let's take a phone call, because I think what you're doing is you're looking for every excuse in the book. Every excuse in the book to validate your very strange position on this. Here is Russell in Van Nuys, California, on the Phil Hendry Show. Russell, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Phil. I'm wondering why you're devoting so much time to this knucklehead. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely
It's called free speech, sir. Yeah, it's called free speech, sir.
No, you're right. You're right, of course. It is free speech. But it's just ridiculous. I mean, porno certainly didn't cause Bin Laden to kill 3,000 Americans.
No.
That's just ridiculous.
No, it didn't.
I mean, he did that for religious and political reasons. It had nothing to do with porno.
I agree, but why would you watch porn when you know that puts you in solidarity with him?
What? How does that put you in solidarity with a guy? It's an asinine statement.
It doesn't put you in solidarity with him. It does not. That's just ridiculous. Thousands of millions of people watch it, and that doesn't mean that they're Osama bin Laden's best friend. And you asked that guy earlier if he would sit down and watch porno with bin Laden. Of course not. Of course not. Man's a murderer.
I'm saying to you, sir.
Criminal.
I'm saying to you, sir, if you're watching porn, you don't think to yourself, wow, this is exactly how bin Laden spent his last night. Look at me doing the same thing.
How do you know he spent his last night doing that?
I think it stands to reason.
No, it doesn't.
Don't you?
No, it doesn't. Well, you're supposing. Yeah, you don't have any knowledge of anything. And it's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. And I can't believe that you stood up and told your student something like that. I mean, I hope that somebody goes to the school board and get you at least reprimanded. It's just ridiculous. You shouldn't be talking.
No, I don't know what you're saying. I was honest with my students when I said, Osama bin Laden watched porn. I'm here to tell you kids, yes, I've watched porn. BD. Spank movies, whatever.
Yeah. Oh God! You know what? Yeah, exactly. You'd be thrown out of that school.
I've got 35 years as an educator in a private school, so I think that I might have built up a little bit of credibility with some of these parents. And I can tell you, I'm not going to watch porn again.
Tell who left this porn, and what's this nonsense about taller women and shorter men and being addicted to porn? That is absolutely ridiculous. You're
no,
a ridiculous
sir, it is
man,
not.
And you're
can I ask you something?
Ridiculous.
Can I ask you something?
Sure.
You're telling me I'm not saying profile. You can't tell whether people are addicted to porn or not. You can't tell that by looking at them.
Certainly
now, I'm
going to
ask you, I'll tell you something right now. Do you work in a pornographic bookstore, yes or no? Because you sound like you do.
Do you?
No, I do not. I'm a teacher. No,
then how
I'm a teacher.
Do you know? You don't know. You know nothing. You know absolutely nothing about porn.
All right.
Strangers.
If I know nothing,
and
if I know nothing, then
you
can say.
You told those students which parents were porn addicted to pornographic.
Yes. Yes, sir. I did.
You have no business doing that. If you did in fact do that, I don't believe you actually did that, or you'd be fired. Even if it is,
no,
they would not.
It's a private school, sir. You didn't answer my question. Do you work in a pornographic bookstore? The answer is yes, isn't it?
No, I don't. And if I
no, he doesn't. He doesn't. I believe him. He doesn't.
You believe him?
Yes, I do. He answered your question. You know, Vernon, you don't have the know-all, be-all that you think you have. And you don't have the omniscience.
I don't think I'm God.
Well, you sure come off sounding like you know who's a porn addict.
Let me ask you something. From what you know about people. No, sir, I don't. From what you know about people, are you telling me that married couples where the woman is taller than the man, they are not up to their ears in porn?
That is such a ridiculous statement. You don't know anything. Many people are taller than their husband, many women, and that doesn't make them addicted to porn. It doesn't make their husbands addicted to porn either. There are lots of people in this country that wouldn't consider watching porno.
I want
you
to
know,
ask Phil, because
but,
he grew
no, you
up,
are,
he grew
you
up
are
in Arcadia, Phil.
The position of God, and that's just ridiculous.
No, sir,
you
I'm
don't
not.
Know anything.
Phil, you
you have a degree
Arcadia,
in psychology?
Yes, I did.
I don't I have a teaching degree. I have a teaching degree.
Yeah, well, that's about... You know what?
Well, Mr. Hendry...
Words about what the paper's worth.
When you're ready to come clean that you work behind the counter with a lot of rubber, well, forget it.
Yeah, uh-huh. Anyway, thanks very much, Russell, for your call. We'll be back with our News and Information Hour on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You grew up in Arcadia, saw a lot of tall women with short guys.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I'm not too terribly surprised. I mean, what we need to remember here is
Asians
that...
Asians are 15% of voters here. Politicians don't speak.
We need to sit down and talk with the mom, talk with the child.
He was denied hanging the...
He indicated that she had been rear-ended.
Yay, hail.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. And we go through the looking glass and beyond to, well, as you know, places other talk shows wish they could, they can't go to at all. And we are online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. In fact, if you're watching our live streaming Phil TV in HD right now, you can see that we are showing you our souvenir shop. That's our T-shirt. And we have... a lot of stuff, man. I mean, we got the T-shirt, and we have our shot glass, and we have our CDs. Just a number of different things to amuse you. So go to philhendryshow.com and check out some of the stuff that we've got there, as well as, of course, the backstage pass for all of our archives. And really, it is just our multimedia thang. You know, we got platforms everywhere, man. You know.
Yeah, we're pretty active on social media too.
We're very active, and so thank you very much, Bud, for that. We are very active in social media. We're on Twitter. We're on Twitter. We're everywhere, man. And we're on Facebook. And we have, like, Bud, you have an account on Twitter, right?
Yeah, I'm the Bud Dickman, and you can go there and everything.
Yeah, bitching, man. And what about you, Robert?
No, I don't do that. I think I'm going to go Facebook. I haven't been on Twitter.
You don't like Twitter, huh?
Yeah, you probably can't spell good or anything. Shut up, man.
All right, hey. Anyway, so hit us up there on Twitter or on Facebook, Phil Henry Show. Facebook and, / Phil Henry and Twitter / Real Phil Henry. Now, of all the stories to start the hour with, I'm going to start it with this story because this is the second time I've read of something as insane as this. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know, man. I think that this has a lot to do with the suggestibility of mentally ill people. And I think there are certain images that have such power that when someone is mentally ill, those images become very iconic. I shouldn't even call them iconic. They become so archetypal. It's like a schizophrenic hearing voices. And what image am I talking about? I'm talking about the grotesque and horrifying image of decapitation that suddenly invaded our homes here over the last 10 years as practiced by this scum Al-Qaeda. And it became such a powerful image that some of these psychotic individuals, and I say some, I've only heard of two that made the headlines. These people go out and actually commit these crimes. And what's different about this than someone saying, well, you see, when you video, when you televise those decapitations, that causes people to want to go out and cut off heads. No, that doesn't cause people to want to go out and cut off heads. What it is a very powerful image. Anyone who is violent, psychotic and violent, and it's a very, very rare, a small percentage of people who are psychotic and violent, but if they are, they're going to grab a hold of some kind of a violent image in some instances. I think that's the only thing that explains the fact that we had in Canada a number of years ago the most unbelievable act of violence committed against a human being in a bus. You remember that?
Yeah, that guy was like just sleeping too.
Well, he was sleeping, and he saw this guy bothering a girl. He told him to stop. That's the last thing he ever said was, hey, buddy, don't bother that. Eep, that was the end of that.
Yeah, the guy cut his head off and everything.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The guy that did it was a mental case. Admitted to the judge he was a mental case. Told the judge, please kill me. I mean, this guy, you talk about being off your medication. But I don't have sympathy for certain people who are, even if you're psychotic, you know, you're technically sick. I understand that. Psychopath, no. Those people know right from wrong. But a guy that's psychotic, somebody that is hearing voices and seeing things, and the whole world is like melting in front of him, that's a really sick person. Do you know that a schizophrenic, this is a very interesting fact, that they're now finding, UCLA did a study, schizophrenics lose 25% of their gray matter within 5 years. 25%. That means a quarter of their brain goes away, man, from this disease. It's a brutal, devastating disease. Now what do we find? The same thing happens yesterday in a place called Tenerife in the Canary Islands. A woman is standing there minding her own business, and along comes some nut, and the same thing happens. This guy grabs this woman, and in front of shocked and horrified tourists, this unbelievable and unspeakable act of violence takes place. He has a knife, and that's the end of her head.
In front of everybody?
Yes, in front of everybody. Then the guy takes off running. Some people give chase, and finally a man on a motorcycle takes his helmet off and throws it at this guy. People who saw this guy running with this head thought it was a joke. They thought it was a mannequin head. They don't know what the hell was going on.
I don't know how, man. If I caught that guy, man, I don't know how you'd beat his head in. Just give him curb bite.
Well, I agree with you there, Robert. I would be with you on that, but cooler heads prevailed. The guy was 28 years old. He ran to the streets of the Holiday Island carrying the woman's head. Security guard. I mean, I've never heard of anything like this before in my life. And believe me when I tell you that had there been stories of decapitations before this, they would have made the news probably even more prominently than these ones. So that's why I'm saying this has got to have something to do with the images of decapitation that Al-Qaeda brought into our home, you know, because all of a sudden we got headline stories of these clowns. And I say, you know, clown. I mean, it almost is sort of It's brutal violence to almost a ridiculous extreme. One lady said he must be insane because he was running away with his head in her hands. Well, that I guess she misspoke, huh?
No, she's probably making a joke.
He must be insane. He was running away with his head in her hands. What the hell does that mean? An eyewitness told local radio, I was parking my car outside the supermarket. I saw this man running with something bloody in his hands. It was a head. He had it in his hands. The security guards chased him and threw him to the floor and overpowered him. The witness said the head rolled along the ground as this. Oh, my God. You talk about a nightmare in living color in the middle of the day.
Man, you told me the head would fall on the ground?
Yeah, I was rolling down the street and everything.
Wow, there were conflicting reports that the weapon may have been a machete, a sword, or a spade. The shop of the woman was killed sells knives and machetes. Now watch this. Here comes the... Well, we better not sell knives. It's got nothing to do with that. People, this is a much more difficult, or if you will, a much easier problem to approach. It's got nothing to do with whether they're machetes, or this, or that, or this, or that. This is about the human animal. Nothing more and nothing less. This is about... Take a look around, and what do you see? Which one of these guys is a nut? You do way better, and not passing a law. I'm not talking about a law that says we have to find out who the nuts are and stop them. No, I think as individual human beings, as just creatures on this earth, we have to keep our eyes open a little bit better. And for the most part, I think people do, but that poor lady, I mean, now what was it about her? British consular staff... We're thought to be trying to locate next of kin for the woman who's thought to be an expatriate living in Tenafly. She's not been identified. Wine merchant David Scott said the attacker spent most days sitting 50 yards from the scene of the attack, talking to himself and gesticulating wildly. So this is a schizophrenic, you know.
Why do you keep saying a guy's schizophrenic? Why do you say that?
Because he's seeing things and talking to imaginary people. He's hallucinating, in other words. He was very disturbed and intimidating, the sort of person you would cross the road to avoid. Dominica Fernandez, Madrid representative of the Canary Islands, said the killer had, quote, chosen his victim by chance. Good God. A horrific murder took place at around 10:25 in the shopping center in Avenida Juan Carlos 1. A source of the National Police investigating said, at the moment, we are investigating whether he was carrying the knife when he entered the store. Or whether he picked it up inside. Police were studying the CCTV footage after the attack. That's the security cameras that they have. The police source said the suspect was very well known to officers in the area. Local reports said he'd spent time in the psychiatric unit at the hospital de la Candelaria following early violent outbursts. He's said to have once punched a man in the street in a random attack, knocking out the guy's two front teeth. And then he takes a knife and just... Good God!
I'd beat the hell out of him.
A lot of good that would do.
Well, at least he'd know he got his ass kicked.
I'd beat the hell out of him. I'd try to kill him. I just keep beating his head into the cement until there was just like, it's till his head went soft under your touch.
Oh, God, man.
That's what I do.
You keep on beating his head until it just got all mushy?
Yeah. I would just like, boom, boom, boom. Boom. I mean, you know, cops would come and stop me and probably lock me up in the same cell with the guy. What a world, man. What a world. But, you know, criminality is bolder because I believe the numbers of people, of course, the cities and where we live, we're becoming more and more people. And there is the imagery that will inform, you know, the kind of violence that we see. And like I said, sane people don't do this. A criminally prone, hallucinating, psychotic person is going to be influenced by certain images, but it doesn't mean that that's what caused them to be violent. The guy's violent to begin with. He already knocked some guy's teeth out.
Yeah, but if he hadn't seen no decapitation or anything like that.
Then he would have got a gun and blown her head off, or he would have just stabbed her. Believe me when I tell you, that guy was on his way to... You know, he had a rendezvous with destiny regardless. All right, we're coming back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Remember our website, philhenryshow.com, so you can pick up the podcast tomorrow morning. A mom tells ABC News she gave her kid Botox. You imagine a woman putting Botox in the kid's kisser so the kid can win, I don't know, some stupid beauty pageant or something like that. The child is now in protective custody. And also check us out, as I say, on the web at philhenryshow.com. We'll be back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
World famous Phil Henry Show. I was just, violence is obviously it's everywhere, and the only way that we're ever going to control it is when we find out the truth of violence, which is, you know, it's in the biochemistry of the brain. I'm not saying that there aren't bad people. There are bad people, you know, but more and more, you know, when we talk to Dr. Stone and we hear about these stories, more and more, even a psychopath, even somebody who is just there's no ifs, ands, or buts. In my opinion, a psychopath, just drop them down the old proverbial hole. Just kill them, because those guys, you can't rehabilitate them. Even those people have been known to come about, or that personality change comes about when they've had traumatic head injury. So there's all these things that affect the brain, you know. This guy with God is great and all that bullcrap, prophet of God, cuts the woman's head off. This clown was into some sort of jihadist hallucination. That's what that guy was about. Don't even worry about that one. You know, and we've heard of other kinds of psychotic episodes, like that Hinckley clown who wanted to impress Jodie Foster. I mean, these guys that are built that way, there's all sorts of things. It doesn't set them off, because I think these people are violent to begin with. They're on their way to some sort of a violent event. But it's like the vehicle they use. Jodie Foster, the jihadist, whatever. So here is a story now. A San Francisco pageant mom investigated for injecting her 8-year-old daughter with Botox. I don't know what to say about this. You know, other than the fact that it, you know, takes all kinds, but she, the kid's now with Child Protective Services. The mother, who she said on the news, well, everybody's doing it, you know. I mean, it's not on, you know, it's not unusual. Well, now, come on, this is a kid. Where do you people get off with this idea that you're going to put Botox in the kid's face? And what is it with these beauty pageants? Why is it that important? I don't understand. Anyway, she got the idea from other pageant mothers, calling it pretty much like the thing. I'm not the only one who does it. Yeah, well, you're the only one whose kid went with the San Francisco authorities. How does that make you feel? You're not the only one that does it. As far as anybody's concerned, you are. In an interview on ABC News with Laura Logan, Carrie Campbell defends giving Botox to her 8-year-old because everyone else is doing it in the beauty pageant world. Child Protective Services is investigating your ass, Carrie.
It's pretty much like the thing. I'm not the only one that does it. A lot of moms do it. And I think a lot of the kids making the big impression on the lines on her face and stuff, like, made her, probably influence her to want to do it a little bit more.
You're saying Brittany asked you for Botox?
We talked about it. She didn't exactly ask me about it, but I know that she was complaining about her face, her wrinkles.
Right, and of course, as you know, an 8-year-old kid, I mean, we must take into consideration what their desires and concerns are. Maybe if she wanted plastic surgery, you're going to go out and find a plastic surgeon. Maybe if she wanted breast implants. You do have to take into consideration the child's wants, needs, and desires. You idiot. Ms. Campbell says she personally injects her daughter with the Botox she acquires from a trusted source. Oh, man.
Like I said, I do the Botox myself. It's safe. I have no problem with doing it.
But you're 34. I mean, I'm just wondering.
I've been doing it for a long time.
You administer it because you're an esthetician.
Part-time.
Where do you get the Botox?
I'd rather not, like, put that out there. I do have a trusted source where I get it. He is behind the doctor scene and everything.
Oh, this is an idiot. I mean, how does this woman walk around free? Here is 8-year-old Brittany talking about the procedure.
I do it, but
yeah,
it hurts sometimes, but I get used to it.
A little bit.
And what do you do it for?
I don't know.
Well, do you do it because you see wrinkles? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Now she remembers, yeah.
Like wrinkles and
It
just, like, I just, like, don't, like, think wrinkles are nice when it'll grow. It hurts, and I get used to it, and...
Do you cry?
Yeah. And you have sex with your uncle, right? But it hurts, but you get used to it, don't you? Okay, that's great. Trent Rohrer of Child Protective Services in San Francisco told KGO Television that they're investigating the mother. Investigating the mother? Well, you better be investigating the mother. And they received a flood of calls concerning the child's well-being. What, after the TV show thing? I mean, what? Anyway, here is Trent.
We need to sit down and talk with the mom, talk with the child, and see what's going on. It's pretty unusual for a mom to be injecting an 8-year-old with Botox, and certainly is grounds for an investigation.
Well, no, wait a minute. She says she doesn't want a cop to where she's getting the Botox, a trusted source, because they're in the doctor scene thingy, like the way she put it. And she knows she's 34 years old, and she's been doing it all of her life. She's sticking needles into a kid's kisser. In other words, she's administering some kind of a treatment as a lay. She's an esthetician. Are those people allowed to give you a shot of Botox?
I don't know. I know what an esthetician is.
What do you know, Robert?
No, I don't, ma'am. I don't think they are the only people allowed to give you a shot. Got to be a nurse or something.
Well, is an esthetician a nurse?
I don't know.
And then putting it into a kid's face. These baby beauty pageants are the most bizarre bloody things in the history of man on this planet. I can understand how the mother... I heard one woman describe it this way. I don't want her to be sexy. I want her to be beautiful. All right. You know. But come on. The imagery, the clothing, the entire way they image these little kitty beauty pageants is like a grown-up beauty pageant, only the little kids. So they're showing their legs. The whole thing, man.
Yeah, but I mean... What else are you going to do?
What do you mean, what else are you going to do? Don't have one, man.
Yeah, if you want to have a baby beauty pageant, you got to show some other thing like a way of baby beauty. I mean, the baby beauty.
What about the baby beauty?
What do you mean, baby beauty?
Well, I have a baby.
You guys don't even know what you're talking about now.
Well, I'm talking about baby beauty.
Baby beauty pageant?
Yeah.
I don't know how they do it. How do they do baby beauty pageants? They wheel them by in a bassinet, you take a look at the kid, and if he, you know, winks at you, you go, okay, great. And you give the kid a sucker, and you give him a large gold loving cup, and we go, champion baby of the year, stick the kid in the cup, and roll it down the street.
That's what I do.
All right. Come on, man. We got to get it together here, ladies and gentlemen. We got to begin to, in my opinion, we got to get our priorities in order here, I think. Don't you think? Bin Laden's dead. We're moving on. Okay, been there. We took care of that guy. We got to rebuild the whole Twin Tower thing. We've been through a lot, man. We've been through a lot, doctor. And we're recognizing the priorities here. You know, we have young men and women overseas fighting in wars. We got Bin Laden. The towers are going up. The thing, all this crap. The economy sucks. And meanwhile, they got Botox going into a kid's face. No. That, no. We ain't doing that anymore. No more. Well, this is wrong. And, you know, we have to shut some of these people up. I don't know how we're going to do it. But these people that whine and scream about how, well, you know, they have a right to do this and they have a right to do that. We got to tell them to shut up now. We have to tell them, no. You don't get to anymore. We're moving in a new direction. It's a new day. All right. We'll be back on a world-famous Phil Hendry show with more, including Chuck E. Cheese. Is it a casino?
Phil Hendry. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, man, I'm telling you that I think we may have finally gotten some of these problems. You know, we have our remote studio here, and we have, I'm telling you know, and I will say again what I said last night. Either you know your job or you don't, and this country is hungering for people that know what they're doing. It's hungering. It's starving for people that know what they're doing. We are looking for professionals. We're looking for people to know how to get the job done. Look around you. What do you see? You see jackasses that are making excuses. You see people grubbing for money and giving you what in return? Hardly anything. You see industry leaders, captains of industry. Where are the J. Paul Gettys? Where are the Rockefellers? And I don't mean Nelson. I mean John D. Don't give me Bill Gates. I want to know who are the guys that are making things? Who are the people that are manufacturing things? Where are the pros? Man, I'll tell you, you know, this is where we're at right now. Now that we took care of bin Laden, I think the next step is let's get our heads out of our asses and start doing something around here. Like, let's start creating things again. Let's get this century kicked off. What do you think? My God. The stuff that passes for work, the stuff that passes for professionalism in my industry, in your industry, think about it. The things that pass for quality work, you know, you wouldn't recognize it, man, if it looked like third graders did it. What's the point? We're a country of people that just eat, consume, consume, consume. We don't make a damn thing. Chinese are making it. We talk about how we want to buy American. No, we don't want to buy American. We want to buy cheap. We never get the idea we want to buy American. What is that? Are you kidding me or something? We don't want to buy. If we wanted to buy American, we'd buy American. And it's ridiculous to talk about buying American. We want to buy El Cheapo, baby. That's what we want. And I can tell you that we have a country loaded with business leaders that are only too willing to give us exactly what we want. Garbage for a crap can product for a low price. Take a look at Walmart or whatever these dumps are, these places where these people knock in the front door on a Thanksgiving Black Friday and kill each other as they're crawling over top of broken glass so they can get inside the store and get what? Some cheap Chinese junk? It just so happens that the price is right, you know, and that's where we are right now. I mean, this is what we're valuing right now. I mean, and so we wonder why the American people become so enamored of anyone and anything that comes up out of the crowd, that raises up out of the crowd and shows themselves to be an actual proficient individual, someone that knows something about what they're doing, somebody that's a pro. My God, we are absolutely hungry for that in this country. Absolutely thirsting for it. Look around. Where do you see it? Hardly anywhere. We got people playing it safe. We got people going by the numbers. We got people that don't want to deviate. We have people that don't want to bust outside. It's not my pay grade. Boy, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to take that one to the grave as my least favorite saying.
What's that?
Anytime I hear some jackass say the following thing to me, boy, I don't know, Phil, it ain't my pay grade. I swear to God, man, that's somebody that ought to be on the street just for grins. Just stick them out on the street, man. Hey, how's that? Is that your pay grade?
Yeah, but I mean, why do you want to go above your pay grade?
Why do you want to go above your pay grade? You ever heard of professional pride? You ever heard of wanting to get the job done?
Yeah, but nobody's going to pay you for it.
Nobody's going to pay you for nothing anyway, man. No one's going to pay you for nothing anyway. If you think you're sitting on your dead ass because it ain't your pay grade, anybody's going to give you a promotion or a raise based on that, forget it. The only way to get things done is to take a little bit of initiative. Probably what it means eventually is to go out and start your own business. Oh, that ain't my pay grade. I can't stand people like that. Those are gutless human beings. Those are people that have no interest in anything other than holding on to their little civil service job. And I'll tell you something else. We have private companies now in America. Yeah, what's the difference between them and a civil service gig? We talk about we don't like the bureaucracy. We talk about we don't like Washington. And we don't like how the red tape and the little these little middle management bureaucrats in Washington are driving us crazy. Half the American companies today are run just like them. American companies are run just like it's an agency in Washington. I don't want to lose my job. I don't want to go up my pay grade. I want to play it safe. Look at the bottom line, bottom line, bottom line, bottom line. Anybody creating anything? Anybody making anything better than they made it last year? Anybody looking at the customer further down the road than 2 or 3 years? Hell no. And then these jackballs wonder why they get fired half the time. We got companies that are run by clowns. They don't even know why they're firing people. All they know is they're not getting any kind of productivity out of anybody. Can they motivate them? Hell no. They wouldn't know anything about any more about motivation of employees than motivating themselves. So I hate to give a speech, but God almighty. And what happens is when you're the guy, and I just heard my very good friend Fred say this to me, and he's right. Fred said, you know, it's true when they say that the squeaky wheel gets the grease. It's also true that sometimes the squeaky wheel gets replaced. So keep that in mind. That if you are someone looking to, you know, push out, create, make things better, make things work a little, I don't know, a little faster. I'm not saying that you want to be a pain in the ass. You don't want to go contrary to what your boss's wishes are, the wishes of the company. You don't want to do that. But if you're someone who has a creative instinct and you want to make things bigger and better, keep this in mind. You know, today in America, that is not necessarily held in high esteem. You can get your ass fired for that. You know, when we looked at these SEALs and the operation that they did against bin Laden, we were stunned and amazed. You want to know why? Because in our own personal lives, we never see anything that good. Never. Now think about that, how sad that is.
Yeah, but I mean, we're not going to see people like blowing people away.
I'm not talking about blowing somebody away, man, okay? I'm talking about going in, getting the job done so beautifully, so proficiently, so without a hitch, that you go in, boom, 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 total success, 100%, everything you needed to do, you did, got in, out, no collateral damage, whatever that amounts to in your work, and it is an astounding and an amazing accomplishment. I don't know what that would represent in one's business. And if you can say that, well, hell, you've done it, you know. But I dare say I don't think we see that a lot in our society because that's why our minds are blown by these things. That's why we look at that and we go, oh, my God, look at these guys. I think it's a physical manifestation of something that we desire.
Yeah, but I mean, what about like Black Hawk Down, stuff like that?
What do you mean Black Hawk Down?
Yeah, well, that wasn't a success. Did everybody said it was?
Black Hawk Down was an example of tremendous courage, tremendous loyalty, unbelievable loyalty and courage and fidelity between soldiers, comrades. And it was a very much a success in that they rescued those men. They got them out of there. They weren't going to leave without them. We're talking about a handful of guys that held off hundreds, if not thousands, of these Somalian gunmen. And most certainly was a successful story. I mean, this is beating the odds. This is turning a defeat into a victory. This is something else that is that we look at and we say, boy, you know, I'd love to see that in my life every day. You know, what do you mean it wasn't a victory? What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, that's what they said it wasn't.
Well, no, they didn't get all the guys they wanted to get. That wasn't the point of that. Black Hawk Down is the story of the rescue of those men. It's not the story of how bitching everything was. They went in and they kicked ass and they got all the guys they wanted. It's the story of how these men survived a horrific, horrifically botched mission. Not because necessarily the human beings were botched, but because just the circumstances that occurred. And those guys were able to turn that thing into something good. So, look, you know, we use, and I saw this comment from that Katrina What's-Her-Ass. What's that woman?
Yeah, it's a lady on Twitter, man. It's a pain in the ass. That Katrina, or Katrina Hoovel.
Katrina Hoovel?
Who's that, man? That's a lady.
Vanderhoovel, is that it?
No, it's Katrina Hoovel.
I don't know any Katrina Hoovel. Anyway, she was saying, because I'm looking at these jackball tweets that she does, and she's saying, oh, you know, we're living in a cult of military technology. Vandenhoovel. Yeah, that's it.
That's what I said.
No, you didn't. You went Hoovel.
Yeah, Katrina Hoovel.
No, it ain't Katrina Hoovel, man. What does that say?
Vandenhoovel.
Katrina Vandenhoovel, yeah. Anyway, she says, oh, you know what? We're in danger. We're always in danger, you know. We're in danger of becoming a cult of military technology instead of the intellectual blah, 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 right? And I remember thinking, well, you know, one of the reasons why, if you call it a cult of military technology, I think we admire right now excellence. And where are we seeing it? We're seeing it with our military. And why is it that the military is prominent with its excellence? Because it just so happens, Katrina Vandenhoevel, we're living in a day and age where we need our military. There are military things to do. There are military things to get done. Do you understand? And because there are military things to get done, there's military projects, there's been a need for the military. Go talk to Osama about it, man. Don't talk to me. And because there's been a need for that, we have seen them in operation. And because we've seen them in operation, we've seen them performing beautifully. And we admire it. And she calls that a cult. I call that just people watching a military that we paid a lot of damn money for. And we're watching and appreciating and being very appreciative of their efforts. Now, I'd love to do that in some other walks of life, Katrina. You know, I'd love to be able to, for instance, celebrate the cult of bitchin' magazine publishing. But all I got is Katrina Vandenhoevel and her folderol.
Yeah, start a magazine called Vandenhoevel.
What's that going to be about?
It'd be about her, man. You'd do a magazine about Katrina Vandenhoevel or folderol.
That would be a better magazine, folderol. So I'd love to have a celebration of the grooviness of magazines, a celebration of how far out our automobile manufacturing is, a celebration of how just unbelievably beautiful our radio broadcasting is, but unfortunately we can't, because none of that's happening. I'd love to be able to talk about how we're making the great washing machines and dishwashers and that kind of stuff, the shoes, the clothing. I'd love to talk about how we're making all of that stuff. Well, we can't do it, can we? And until such time as we can, guess what, Vandenhoevel? I got to talk about how great our military is. It's fine with me. Fine with me.
Hey, talk about some of bitching tanks and stuff, what they got.
Yeah, there you go. We make some damn good tanks. Now, let me ask some. If we can make that stuff, man, we ought to be able to make cars. Well.
Not a Hummer.
Ah, the hell with a Hummer. All right, we'll be back here with our final segment on this beautiful, I say beautiful Friday night, Saturday morning, because it's the last show of the week. Of course, we will see you guys tonight, 7 o'clock, on our local KFI AM 640 More Stimulating Talk radio show. That's coming up this evening, all right? Mike Huckabee has a big announcement to make tomorrow. Do we care? Yes, I guess. I don't. Personally, Huckabee, yeah. Anyway, will he run for president? Can he win? Do you care? Will you vote for him? What's that? No? PhilHenryShow.com.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. For Patriots, by Patriots, it's the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here on the Phil Hendry Show. And as I said, this is it's Friday night, and then we have our KFI show tonight. And then on Sunday, we're going to set fire to the studio, burn it to the ground. And
then they have to come in and fix it.
Then they'd have to build it from the ground up again. And that way, I think, that way we'll solve some of the problems, if not all of them, some of them. Being proactive. Anyway, there's a mother who has sued Chuck E. Cheese. Oh, there's another lawsuit. And this is a woman who lives in San Diego. She sued the company that owns the Chuck E. Cheese family restaurant chain because she doesn't have anything better to do than to sue them. She claims that many of the games intended for children at these locations are actually illegal gambling devices like slot machines. Her name is Denise Keller. She's a local real estate agent. And you know what it's like being a real estate agent these days. Well, you haven't got anything to do. You're not selling anything. That's for damn sure. And I guess she's sitting on a whole lot of money that she can just go ahead and turn over to a lawyer. So Denise is rich, man. She's the mother of two daughters, age 3 and 5. So I'm telling you, in life, motherhood's a beautiful thing. But there is also in life a very insufferable creature, and that is the mother of three of little kids. Because guess what? She's an expert. She's had them for all of 3 years. Anyway, she filed a potential class action suit in U.S. District Court. According to court documents, she's asking for a jury trial and damages and restitution of at least $5 million. But attorney Eric Benink, who represents Keller, because she pays on time, said the money is a secondary issue. Well, of course. The purpose of the lawsuit, he said, is to prevent Texas-based CEC Entertainment, which owns and operates the restaurants in 48 states, from keeping the machines in its game rooms. We don't think the children should be exposed to casino-style gambling devices at an arcade, Bink said, adding that the games take only a few seconds to play and some of them feature roulette-style wheel. Well, so do many board games that you purchase and bring home. They have roulette-style wheels, too. As a matter of fact, and I hate to be the guy to, you know, break the news, you ever heard of playing cards? According to the complaint, many of the games in these rooms are operated by inserting tokens, which can be purchased for 25 cents. When the games are finished, they dispense tickets. Yep, that's right. The lawsuit notes that with some exceptions, gambling is illegal in California, but the penal code makes an exception for games that are predominantly based on skill. Well, that's not the case. What are they talking about here, man? I've played these games a million times with my kids, and you get these tickets, and you go and you redeem them for cheap junk. You know, I hate to say it, but, I mean, you go and you redeem them for stupid-ass stuff.
Like what?
I don't know. I mean, if you get enough of them, you can get a... There's some cool stuff, like stuffed bears. My daughter would get stuffed animals if she got enough. Sometimes she got those little snow globes. Sometimes they were stupid-looking plastic bracelets. It all depends, you know. And I remember looking at this and thinking, okay, well, this is really cool. So they got this much money out of the kids, and they're giving back this much. Boy, are they making out. Which, of course, that's the name of the game. I'm not necessarily going to complain about that. But is this what they're calling gambling? With the games of Chuck E. Cheese, according to Keller, who claims in the court documents that she's taken her own children on numerous occasions to the restaurant's location, La Mesa's Grossmont Center. Instead, the suit says the games are based mostly on chance and that they could foster addictive behavior in children by enticing them to play repeatedly for tickets. Oh, that's what she's bitching about, that there's a payoff, you see.
Oh, I see them in like a slot machine.
Yeah. So if you win, and at Chuck E. Cheese, I was trying to think of what the hell casino-style games. There is a bowling alley, those stupid little bowling where the pins snap up. There's basket shooting. I think there is some, one of those claw things that you pick up something with.
Yeah.
There's, there may be a roulette style wheel there's no real gambling, machines there. But the fact that it does dispense these tickets is what's got this woman, Calls to CEC Entertainment's attorneys were not immediately returned because they were liable to say something nasty. They have argued in court documents the games are not illegal under state law. The attorneys contend that the California legislature never intended to make operating a children's arcade game a criminal act. Instead, they say recent amendments to the law show that lawmakers were primarily concerned with the potential for video slot machines masquerading as legal video games. They note that even if the arcade games were illegal, then Keller is an admitted participant in the illegal gambling. Therefore, she should be barred from seeking any damages or restitution. Aha! Attorneys for the company have asked a federal judge to dismiss the case. I think he ought to, too. I think it's horse dung. The little kids, you know, what do you want the children to do? Go ahead and feed their money into these machines, play these games for the sheer satisfaction of it, and then go and, you know, go home? For the children, it's fun. It's a competition. It doesn't necessarily mean that you are gambling, per se. Oh, it's time to leave, you know? Well, anyway, you know what I'm saying, bud.
Yeah, well, I don't go to Chuck E. Cheese anyway anymore, and that's since last year.
Yeah, I know. That they cut you off, huh? The Phil Henry Show, produced by Jason Rantz. Technical director is John Ilk. Dan Northcraft, our associate producer, will be on KFI tonight at 7 o'clock. Check us out on the web at philhenryshow.com. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.